Hey, well, it's a good Friday. They're all good, if you ask me, but this is the toughest day for me. Getting, you know, Friday night's usually the big night. You go out and you do a million. It's tough on Friday nights. Joe Bartlett, you got big weekend plans?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going through the Netflix schedule. I'm going to see, you know, what am I going to stream for 3 hours?
Oh, I got a big plan. I'm maybe going to the supermarket later today.
Wow.
Well, that's the only socializing. You say two words to the cashier. She answers. I don't know what the hell she's saying. She's got a mask on. And then I might take a walk later. I'm living the life of Joe Biden. This is ridiculous.
Do you have a mask?
No.
Oh, really? Oh, you really should.
You know, everybody in the supermarket, everybody in the stores, the people that work there, all the employees should be wearing gloves and a mask. But as far as everybody wearing a mask, you should. It doesn't protect you. That's the important thing to remember. Don't get overconfident with the mask. It's not protecting you in any way because you're not using the proper mask and it's not put on right. But it keeps you from, should you cough or sneeze, hitting anybody with some droplets. So that's the good thing. Hey, you know, this lockdown seems to keep increasing. They keep coming up with more things. They just in New York announced that all golf courses have to close. A lot of country clubs left their course open. No caddies, no anything. California did that too. Joe Bartlett, your golf courses are still open down there?
Yeah, I played yesterday.
Yeah, watch out. Every state now, Florida has closed down all the golf courses. I don't know why. It's pretty safe out there, right? Everybody's far apart.
Well, yeah. I mean, I played by myself. I have, you know, I'm in the cart by myself. There's one guy behind me, you know, not even close. So there is plenty of separation out there.
Yeah. And the way Joe plays, for a lot of separation, because the ball goes that way, then next time right. This way. Never right. No, he's pretty good. I'm always on either side, but it's getting tougher and tougher. When is this going to end? The president has put together a little task force to look at how to get out of this, how to get everybody. You got to get everybody out of this. You can't just keep this lockdown going forever. It's not just destroying the economy and people's livelihoods, but it's destroying people's minds. He's looking at May 1st as a date to start coming back. It'll be in stages. People who've had the disease will probably be the first out. Younger people will be the first out. Employers will probably be told you could bring back 20% of your office and keep them far apart, that kind of stuff. But it's got to be on May 1st that they start doing something about this. Now, if you listen to Mayor de Blasio, he's saying, you know, end of May, June. But I think we've all learned now, especially in the last few weeks, that listening to Mayor de Blasio is not the right thing to do under any circumstance. This is the guy who on March the 2nd was telling everybody, go to the movies and you should go to Chinatown. So he's been wrong every step of the way. I don't listen to him at all. The Cuomo briefings can be very helpful. The Trump briefings are pretty informative. He's getting a lot of flack now from all over the place, Wall Street Journal and lots of critics, even some Republicans, you know, saying the briefings are hurting him. It's hurting the reelection. It's not good. It's not. When you hear all these Democrats say you've got to stop the briefings, when CNN refuses to carry it, that means they're pretty good. That means they're pretty effective. If it was hurting him, CNN would be running it on a loop around the clock. And the White House points out they're getting very, very high ratings. So if they weren't effective, Democrats wouldn't complain. And if they weren't, you know, worth it for people to watch, they wouldn't be watching. You just go by the ratings. It's that simple. Do you ever actually watch them?
I watch them almost every day. I mean, they come around dinner time. I think they go on too long. And I think they've sort of, they're not served the original purpose. I mean, they may become more of a sparring match between Trump and reporters than it does any like vital information that you're getting.
Yeah, I notice he ducks out early now and lets Mike Pence take over and do, you know, Trump will do about 20 minutes to maybe 30 at the most. And then Mike Pence takes over and does the rest. Dr. Burke's always very informative. Dr. Fauci, you never quite know if you can trust this Dr. Fauci. You never know what the hell he's up to. He's in bed with the World Health Organization, China. President has made it pretty clear. We got to stop funding the World Health Organization. They've just been awful, just horrible in all of this. They've been lying to us. They've been deciding us. They've been siding with China in the beginning. It was the World Health Organization told the U.S. even in January, there's no evidence of human-to-human transmission. We know now that was a total lie. We're the ones that fund them. We're the ones they lie to. The president saying we're going to stop that, stop funding them and cut them off. A lot of governments complaining now about the World Health Organization. It's a part of the UN, and the UN has never been a reliable ally for us or for a lot of countries. So the shutdown, hey, you remember when they would shut down the government? There'd be a government shutdown?
Yeah.
Schumer, Pelosi would be all over TV screaming, we gotta reopen this immediately. It's got to be done tonight. 24 hours a day, they got to reopen it right this second. I never saw people in such a hurry. We're shut down and locked down. They don't seem to be in any hurry. When was the last time you saw Schumer or Pelosi anywhere? Whatever you do, they don't even mention it. Doesn't even occur to them. You ever hear de Blasio mention it? Every time you see Trump in these briefings, we got to get back to work. We got to get you back to work. We got to get you. There's an urgency when he talks about it. Pelosi, Schumer, even Cuomo, even de Blasio, they never even mention it. They're not worried about it. You know, we'll call you when you come out. We'll let you know. Got to get people back to work. As the president keeps saying, you can't have the cure be worse than the problem. You're destroying people's lives, people's livelihoods. You're destroying them psychologically. Obviously, safety is the big concern. Loss of life is the big concern. But you got to figure out a way and start reopening more parts of the economy bit by bit. You got to keep people back, get people back. You can't leave them locked up like this. Even Attorney General Barr is now talking about taking a look at it legally, these draconian measures, these guidelines. The Justice Department is going to evaluate just how legal this all is. The courts in the past, whenever this has gone to a court, they've always ruled a governor, a mayor, a politician can do it, but only in extreme emergency and only on a very temporary basis. So they'll have to look at what temporary means. Now, what would it take to really end the crisis? Obviously, if you got a vaccine, that would make everything safe again, but a vaccine's a long way off. They got a couple that I think are good. They're testing them now, but testing can take many months. There's drugs that are working. Now, if you get you got this hydroxychloroquine, that is working along with a Z-Pak, and they throw in a couple of other little things in there, but it dramatically brings down the symptoms. Most patients, the vast majority that get on these two drugs, the symptoms go way down so they can get through it, and it's generally over within 6 days. That's the dosage, 5 or 6 days. So that's very effective. You got to figure in the next few weeks they'll find another drug or two. Once you can bring the symptoms down, and it's no worse, it's not anywhere as bad as a real bad flu, then I think it's safe for everybody to go back to work. By the way, this hydroxychloroquine, for some reason, the questionable Fauci, he's wrong half the time, he's right half the time. You don't know what his real agenda is. He keeps saying the evidence is anecdotal. It's not anecdotal. As a lot of our top doctors, Dr. Oz, others pointing out, there's massive case studies. It works I've talked to dozens of doctors who are using it. It works all the time. There's finally a French study. The results coming out. Very respected researcher. He's done 1,000 case study. The hydroxychloroquine, 99.3% effective. That's pretty good. 99.3%. And the few patients he lost, very old and underlying conditions. Do you know that Harvey Weinstein had coronavirus and is now all better? Can you imagine that?
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, no, I mean, we don't want anything to happen to Harvey. We want him around for a while.
Yeah,
want him to enjoy his life in prison. People are saying, well, he was in such bad shape. He looked like he was dying. I think that was just an act for the courtroom. He lost a lot of weight because he didn't want to look big, because the testimony was how this big hulking guy overpowered them. So he got himself real skinny and he got on the walker. He's a tall guy, Harvey Weinstein. He's like 6'1", but he got on the walker. So he looks like he's 5'4", and he looked like a little old, sick, frail man. You know, remember the end of Casino, all the mobsters suddenly in wheelchairs with intravenous.
Healthy then, right?
Yeah, he was pretty healthy. Hey, yeah. Guy got through coronavirus in 1 week. He's pretty healthy. With a prison doctor, he got through coronavirus. They say now he's on suicide watch. This guy would be a hell of a reality series. Always something with this Harvey. Now, I know you watch Chris Cuomo. He said The symptoms are unbelievable. My temperature went to 160. I was shivering so hard. He says he chipped a tooth. He was shivering so hard. Meantime, I'm watching this guy every night at 9 o'clock. He seems just fine for the whole hour. Doesn't cough once. See, he looks great, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks fine.
Yeah. And then he has his brother on and they do this Real Housewives of New York routine where they fight, they tease each other, they yell at each here's Kyle Smith in today's New York Post. Big article saying they must stop the sickening Cuomo Brothers show. It's just awful. And I don't think it's great for Chris Cuomo because he was always, getting wiped out in the ratings by Hannity. Still is, but it builds him up a little, gets him a little more viewers. But I don't think it's good for Andrew Cuomo, who's become quite the rising star, to be seen joking around like that every night. Is it too many jokes in the middle of this crisis? By the way, a poll, not the greatest poll because it's a Republican poll of Democrats, but it's pretty interesting. A vast majority of Democrats want Chris Cuomo as the nominee. They don't want Joe Biden as the nominee, which is understandable. In a health crisis, this is not the guy you want to choose. Also, the only accusation, which is not true, but the accusation against President Trump in this situation is that he moved too slow. He was too slow to act. If you're looking for speed, I don't think Joe Biden is your guy. If you're looking for a very fast guy, I don't think that's the guy. What was the name of the guy in Mad Men, John Hamm, the character he played?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the name of
that. You know, Mad Men, John Hamm. There's a big meme going around. Of him saying, him addressing the group with the Biden pictures, and he says, "Now we're gonna redo the Hillary campaign, only this time with a guy, an old man. And here's the twist: he has dementia. So I don't think this is gonna work out too well." Biden even said that he consulted with President Obama. President Obama was giving him advice on how to choose a vice president. First of all, if you've been in politics 50 years. And you need advice on how to choose a vice president. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And the advice from Obama was pick somebody who, where you have weakness, they have strength. Well, first of all, that doesn't narrow it down at all. That could be anybody. Second of all, where you're weak, pick somebody who's strong. You know, if you went to a third grade class, they all would have given you that answer. Isn't that the most obvious thing in the world? Somebody's got to explain that to you.
Of course. By the way, Trump the other day said, Obama didn't endorse Biden because he knows something. And Trump said, I know something, too. I'm kind of curious about what that was all about.
Well, it could be more physical, mental problems than we know about. But it's more likely Hunter and more stuff. You know, the Ukraine stuff is known. But there's a lot of evidence that Rudy gathered when he was over there. And there might be more about China, but also there's Hunter and Romania, where he took millions from a guy who's a convicted felon. There's a lot of other stuff there, a lot of money. Oh, there's also Joe's brothers. He's got two brothers who got massive government contracts they didn't deserve. So I have a feeling it's corruption stuff. Remember Rudy did all that investigating?
Well, yeah, right. Where is that stuff?
I think they're holding that till October. And you see the condition Joe Biden's in now, can barely finish a sentence. Wait 3 months, see how he is. Watch him try to explain it in October when they hit him with it. So now the other thing is we're having a great week here as far as numbers. I know the death number is way up and you keep hearing about all these bodies and they're burying them in the park and the death number is horrifying, grim nightmare. But you have to remember that's a lagging indicator. Death number, that's who came down with this virus a couple of weeks ago. So it's a lagging number. That's the last thing to come down. Now this week, as far as new cases, hospitalizations, we've been down just about every day. The whole week is a down week. It's the first time we've gone down in a week. That's very encouraging. That's New York City. Connecticut, you're still on the rise. New Jersey, you're still on the rise. Long Island, you're really rising. You're up to 40,000 cases in Long Island. It's bad out there, but New York is starting to come down. The rest of the tri-state area will come down. You're 2 weeks behind us, but New York is starting to drop. That's good. You see, you check out my Twitter. You can see it there. The governor put up this chart of all the models they were using. Columbia University model. McKinsey did a model that IMH or HA, whatever the hell, that thing that Gates funded did a model. They were all way off. Look at here's you'll see the chart of what the actual numbers and what the models were predicting. The models were way off, ridiculously off. These are, by the way, the same people doing the modeling on climate change. So just bear that in mind. And remember, we told you a couple weeks ago, as Deborah Burke said, the high-end models are always wrong. They never are right. So that was the case here. Hey, we got lots coming up. Check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. I'll tell you one of Biden's problems. Take a look at this. This is a brand new ad. The Trump campaign has put out the first anti-Biden ad. This one is devastating. It's a really devastating ad against Biden. Also, you know, I keep saying, what's going on with this Fauci? Something is up with Dr. Fauci. Watch this. Every time he leaves the briefing, he makes these secret little signals to Jim Acosta and Jonathan Carl, these two fake news guys. They give him a little signal. He gives them a little signal. He's been caught on video doing this. Take a look at the video. You'll see it. Also, Full House, the great show of Full House. Here's a new version, the quarantine edition. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, you know, they've been doing the Tonight Show without an audience. They've been doing Colbert without an audience. And even that little weird Seth Meyers has been doing a show without an audience. Saturday Night Live will attempt a comeback tomorrow night. They're going to try and do, it's already scheduled, a new Saturday Night Live tomorrow. No word on how they'll do this. Will they do it by everybody from home? Will they do it in a studio but social distancing? Obviously, they can't have an audience. Of course, it's Saturday Night Live. Most of the sketches don't get any laughs anyway, so who's going to notice? They got musical guests that were scheduled. We'll see. But so look for it, a live, new Saturday Night Live somehow. Tomorrow night. And they say live, you know, when Jimmy Fallon and the others do those shows from home, they're actually pre-done because there's glitches and sometimes the signal drops out. So they chop it up and cut it together. So we'll see tomorrow night. Let's take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Let's go to Jerry in Philadelphia. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Morning, Mark. Great quote for you. The answer is money. What's the question this time? I think the day of reckoning for China, if we take away a majority of their manufacturing potential and they lose their economic power, Michael Pillsbury talked about the 100-year marathon, we slowed down that trend of them taking over the world and we get even. Take away their money, take away their power. They can't build military. They can't build islands. They can't do squat.
Well, I understand. Thanks for calling. It's a good question. China, what do you do about this? Hey, China caused this. China is responsible for destroying the world economy, killing lots of people with this virus, for putting millions, tens of millions out of work. When will China pay for this? Should they repay everybody, every country who they've destroyed, every economy they've destroyed? There are a lot of people said we should, China buys a lot of our debt. We should immediately cancel all interest payments to them. We should tariff the hell out of them to get their repaid for all the damage they've done. They not only caused this, they lied about it, they covered up. Now, there are other people that are worried as we go into a terrible recession, maybe even a depression here and in Europe and other. There are other people worried about Chinese interests going around and buying up these businesses at fire sale prices, China getting control of a lot of stuff. Now, you got some business that's going under or some small business and China starts coming in and buying up everything and offering you money, cash. A lot of businesses will take it. It may take the our government and other governments to ban the sale to, you know, they do this in other countries. In England, you can't just sell your business to anybody. If it's a foreign interest, the government has to approve it. So we may need that to keep China from just buying up everything on a fire sale in this country. Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you doing today?
Good. What do you want to say, Tom?
Well, I wanted to say that, you know, one of the big things that people need to realize here, I think, is that most of the people, you would agree, that are suffering terribly from this horrible virus have underlying compromised immune systems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what a lot of people are missing is that if you have a strong, healthy immune system, you know, you load up with your vitamins, like they talk about zinc, they talk about D3, they talk about C, and just having a really good, clean, healthy diet, generally speaking, your immune system will be able to resist any of the viruses that come in, because we're exposed to trillions of viruses every day. And
well, that's true. Like, listen, obviously, thanks for calling. You got to keep your immune system up, obviously, but it's more complicated than that. If you have any underlying heart disease, diabetes, hypertension is another problem, blood pressure. Hey, and a lot of people don't know they have it. Now, if you've got high blood pressure and you're taking your medication, it's under control, then you're fine. But if you don't have it under control, you're really susceptible with coronavirus. So, and then sometimes you see a younger person, sometimes in their 20s, who got into real trouble on coronavirus. But doctors say usually turned out they were heavy vapors, and that vaping could do a lot of damage in your lungs. So you gotta stay healthy, keep your immune system up. You got the most important thing for immune system: plenty of sleep. Plenty, get at least 7 and more like 8 hours of sleep every night. Most important thing for your immune system. And there's all kinds of technical scientific that when you're sleeping, it releases stuff in there that builds up your immune system. People are taking a little zinc, a little vitamin C, but sleep, most important thing of all. Wash your hands all the time. You can go out, you can touch the shopping cart, you can touch stuff in the store. That's okay. You can get the virus all over your hands, as long as when you come home, you wash your hands for like 30 seconds. Get it all off. Soap and water works even better than Purell. Wash your hands. Hey, the other thing, make sure you disinfect your doorknob, because you touch that on the way in, your keys, you touch that, and your phone. Make sure you keep cleaning your phone, because that's the thing you put up against your face. Hey, we'll talk to Greg Jarrett next, the great legal correspondent. What is the vice president and the actually the attorney general talking about? Whether this is even legal, this lockdown? We'll ask him about that next on 710 WOR. Let's get all the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Mark. Governor Cuomo says the death toll should begin to come down in the next few days. It spiked to a record 799 in a single day yesterday. That's because a lot of people who have been on ventilators for a while are dying. The governor says reopening the economy is going to depend, though, on widespread testing be available. Funeral directors say they are being overwhelmed. New York now bringing in help from out of state. The MTA taking the temperatures of workers. Anyone with a temperature of 100.4 or higher is going to be sent home. New testing site opens in Brooklyn today on Beverly Road in Flatbush, and a new field hospital at the Tennis Center in Queens is now accepting patients. Next update at 11, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 on Monday. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
Those strong gusty winds are going to continue here through the afternoon. Cloudy with a few showers. 50 are high today. Partly cloudy tonight, lows tonight near 35. A mix of clouds and sunshine for tomorrow with a high 56. Easter Sunday, partly cloudy up to 61. Windy Monday with a good chance of rain, will be heavy at times. Monday's high 67. Cloudy this hour, 45 WOR.
Well, Greg Jarrett, of course, the best legal analyst, best-selling author. You see him, of course, on the Fox News and Fox Business channels. You know, he's got a great website, gregjarrett.com. You should check it every day. Great stuff, great news. Greg Jarrett, it's actually thegregjarrett.com, thegregjarrett.com. Greg Jarrett, how you doing?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing fine. I hope you're well and the rest of America as we wrestle with this ongoing pandemic. But thanks for having me on.
I'm very healthy, except from the neck up. I'm cracking up. First of all, is this legal for a mayor or a governor to order you to stay at home?
Well, it's questionable as to whether it is. It depends on the jurisdiction, the state. I have written that some of these measures are excessive. They're overwrought. Some of them are unconstitutional, but it sort of depends upon individual statutes in various states as to whether governors have emergency powers to essentially suspend constitutional rights, freedom of movement, and so forth.
So, and Attorney General Barr yesterday in an interview saying he's taking a look at these draconian measures. What do you think made him suddenly speak out about it?
Well, I think he recognizes that, in fact, the greatest threat going forward is that our nation will succumb to self-inflicted wounds of excessive and perhaps in some instances lawless action. You know, there was a very interesting poll, and I wrote about this by Rasmussen, that shows only 4% of Americans fear the loss of health. A majority identify loss of income, finding needed supplies as their top concern. Another 23% fear the, you know, emotional anguish of isolation, inactivity, associated depression. And the models upon which governors and indeed the White House is basing their decision making are, as Andy McCarthy at National Review wrote, deeply flawed. In fact, more than that, they're just junk. In the last week or so, we've gone from, based on the model, 200,000 deaths in America, then a few days later to an estimated 94,000 deaths. A day later, it suddenly becomes 60,000 projected deaths. The information they're using is inaccurate. And so we are basing serious decision making on something that is flawed.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have it up, the chart I have up on my Twitter. It's the one Governor Cuomo put up yesterday. Columbia University, McKinsey, a Gates funded study. They're not just off, they're wildly off. They're thousands of percent off. And I guess these are the same people doing the modeling on climate change and everything else, right?
It is, and you know, it calls into question the motivations behind some of these people and their competency as well. And I also point out in my most recent column that came out yesterday, the fatality rate, according to the Lancet Infectious Diseases latest study, is less than 1%. To be precise, it's 0.66%. of those who contract the virus will die. And not everybody will contract it. Many who do become infected experience mild or moderate symptoms, no hospitalizations. Others will be asymptomatic. And the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, people will succumb to this economic strangulation, not the virus itself. And, you know, you can feel the desperation and the fear of Americans that are being laid off. 17 million people have lost their jobs. Businesses have been shuttered everywhere. And frankly, if we continue at this pace, we will destroy the economic structure and the vitality of Americans to survive something which they would likely statistically survive anyway.
Yeah. The only person, who's a politician, leader, who has any empathy is the president. Every briefing he talks about, I got to get you back to work. We got to get you out there. People like Mayor de Blasio never mention it. They just toss out, well, maybe June, you know, we'll let you know. I mean, what kind of attitude is that?
Well, you know, Mayor de Blasio, in my judgment, is probably the most incompetent mayor in all of America. So, you know, I pay no attention to his babble. And it's tragic since New York City is, you know, the most populous community in America. But the president does have deep empathy, and he appears to be putting together, as I've recommended in columns, an economic recovery task force. The reason, Mark, is, you know, as commendable and admirable as the medical task force of the White House has done, by necessity, their goal, their focus is myopic. I mean, they want to reduce deaths, reduce transmissions. But they're not assigned nor equipped to make decisions about the economic and financial fallout that is really choking Americans more than the virus itself. So you need, I think, nonpartisan, bipartisan industry experts who can offer guidance and a blueprint for economic recovery, getting Americans back to work as quickly as possible. And, you know, it just cannot be done capriciously. There has to be a plan in place. And one of my greatest criticisms has been, and I've written about this, is that mass quarantines and lockdowns are wrong. They should be targeted and tailored and isolate those who are most vulnerable and sick. Everybody else is being treated as collateral damage, and they're suffering because of it.
That's well put. Yeah, you should get Greg Jarrett's books. Also, his website's got a great, his column and great news all day. TheGregJarrett.com. TheGregJarrett.com. Hey, we got like a minute left. What is going on with Durham, these inspector generals? We've been waiting for these reports. Are they on hold now?
Well, Martha McCallum did a fine interview. Laura Ingraham did a fine interview with Bill Barr. And, you know, he said he is determined to bring people to justice if they broke the law in the erroneous investigation of Donald Trump and his campaign. And so, you know, I am optimistic, especially given what he told Laura Ingraham.
Well, all right. Well, I hope so. But it's delayed, obviously, because of the shutdown.
Yeah, but I think Durham is moving ahead anyway. Obviously, it's hampered his ability to meet face-to-face with people. But the investigation continues aggressively. So, you know, we'll wait and see.
All right. Well, hey, Greg Jarrett has some great books, The Russia Hoax, A Witch Hunt, and just go to his website. He's got and check it every day. There's news stories there all the time. TheGregJarrett.com, TheGregJarrett.com. And, of course, you can watch him on the Fox News Channel and Fox Business. Greg Jarrett, thanks for being with us.
Hey, my pleasure, Mark. Take care.
All right. Take care. And check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. The Trump campaign has come out with their very first campaign ad against Joe Biden. It's devastating, especially right now. Biden's so tangled up with China. To take a look at this ad, it's really powerful. Hey, also, Dr. Fauci. I know, lovable. We all love the guy. I wouldn't completely trust this guy. Take a look at this video. What is going on with his secret signals that he keeps giving to fake news? At the end of the briefings, he gives these little secret signals, and they go back and forth between him and Jim Acosta, him and Jonathan Carl. What is up with these signals? Take a look at the video that you'll see what I'm talking about. Also, if you love Full House, here's the new version, the quarantine edition. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Lou, Union, New Jersey. How you doing, Lou?
Good, Simone. You know, I just want to make a comment. They said that the models that they had out were correct, that the people were practicing social distancing before it was made law, and that's why the numbers are low.
Well, all right, Lou, thanks for calling. Yeah, they got to make excuses for these models. They were way off. Columbia University, McKinsey, the Gates funded one. All these models on how many would die, what it would be like, how many hospitalizations were way off by thousands of percent. I mean, just totally off. You can just go to my Twitter. You can see the chart up there. I mean, they weren't even close on anything. And these are the same models they use for climate change and all of that stuff. So just you can never trust these models again. It's, you know, putting the wrong data in. And well, anyway, we'll talk more about this in the next hour. We got a lot to get to in the next hour. We'll bring you all the facts in a nice, cool, calm way. Don't forget Rush at noon. He's been doing some great shows this week. And Sean Hannity, some great stuff all week. He'll be here later with all the top doctors and all the advice and every question you want answered. Buck Sexton at 6 o'clock. I'm here every day, 10 to noon. Back right after the news on 710 WOR.